All right, welcome to the first ever episode of The Virgin and the Bees. So excited. This is a podcast where we talk about all things sex and sexuality in hopes of empowering you to feel comfortable with yourself and, you know, feel empowered by your body and your sexuality. And you know, no matter how much sexual experience you may have, there's always something more to learn. So super excited to be starting this podcast and super, super excited to have Lauren with me today. Thank you, Lauren, for being here. Lauren is one of my really, really good friends. We met in college and we actually met a couple months before she lost her virginity. And we were both like, oh my God, we're both 19-year-old virgins. We feel so weird. And then she lost her virginity and I did not, but that's fine. Go Lauren. Yeah, we've had so many talks about sex and sexuality throughout the years. We even lived together in a one-bedroom, one-bathroom apartment for a year. So we know each other very, very well, have had maybe too many talks. But most importantly, she is a sexpert. And what I mean by that is she worked at our university's sex education department. I'm not exactly sure how to best describe it, but it's this website and kind of tract of our university that focuses on providing sex positive and informative content to anyone. There's a website that they run, they publish blog articles and answer questions. So Lauren, do you have anything else you'd like to maybe add to that or say about yourself?
When I was in college, I took a human sexuality class and it turned into me kind of getting that sort of internship in that class. And it was sexinfoonline.com. And through that experience, I got to read about people from all over the world and their experiences and kind of help anonymously answer their questions. And so I gained a lot of perspectives on different norms and different societal expectations. And I also learned a lot about just sex, birds and bees, anatomy, like health, confidence, all that. So it's something that really interests me. And I think still ties into a lot of my life and how I kind of like approach things. So yeah.
So excited. I know you're gonna, you know, you have so much knowledge and experiences and yeah, so super, super excited. Thank you for sharing more. So we were talking yesterday about kind of how, you know, you were 19 when you lost your virginity. And as I said, you know, when we met, we were both like, oh my God, we're 19-year-old virgins. And I know for me, and also based on what we talked about with you, we both felt pretty insecure. And at 19, we just thought that everyone around us were like sex gods and goddesses and knew exactly what they were doing. And we were like so behind, and which, you know, I guess to some extent is true, but I just wanted to talk kind of about that because it felt like, oh my God, we're so late. And I think back, I'm like, you're 19, you're like a baby, like calm down.
Yeah, no, that's so true. I think especially in college and in a college where there was such a hookup culture and it seemed so prevalent, you know, like freshman year, like a lot of people were kind of losing their virginities. They didn't live with their parents. And so they, for the first time, they had the opportunity to really explore. And so kind of like being a virgin amongst all that can make you feel very left out. But it's important to remember, like, we were so young, like there's so much time ahead of you, you know, and it's fine, you know.
Definitely, definitely. And I actually found a really cool statistic, which I'm going to find really quick, about people losing their virginity in the U.S., because that's where we are located. Okay, so the average age of losing your virginity in the United States is 17, which I think is pretty, like, well known or well guessed, but keep in mind that's an average. It doesn't mean every 17-year-old has had sex, because I know when I was 17, maybe like half of my friends had lost their virginity. And then all of us went off to college freshman year. And, you know, most of those people freshman year, the virgins left. Most of the people who were still virgins lost their virginity freshman year. And after that, it was literally me and one other friend from high school that were still virgins. And we're like, okay, like, we're small but mighty, you know, whatever, it's fine, hopefully this year. And she lost her virginity that year, and she's done a lot of other stuff since then, which is a good thing. She's done good stuff. You know, she's really explored herself, and which I think is great. And I did not. Things just didn't. Things went one path for her and a different path for me. And then I was like, I'm the last virgin. You know, it's kind of being dramatic, you know, but anyway, so definitely I think we thought like, oh, this is so cool. Like, we know someone else who's like still a virgin, like, wow. You know, because when you're 19 and you've gone past, you said that freshman year where a lot of people lose it, it feels kind of weird to not.
Yeah.
And anyway, I found this statistic. It's for 18 and 19 year olds in the US who aren't married. For people who have had sex, that 63% of women who are 18 and 19 have had sex, which means almost 40% haven't at that age. For men, that statistic is 64%, which is, you know, 1% different, which is
the
same. So over 35% of 18 and 19 year olds are still virgins. And that probably does take into account, you know, people in their freshman year, because it does take into account that 18 year age. But, you know, as you're saying, freshman year, like, lots of people are losing it, or if they aren't, they're hearing people talk about it. They're talking about it. It's such a huge part of that culture. And not everyone who's participating in the, like, freshman year, partying, all this stuff, like, not everyone has lost their virginity. And I feel like people have kind of this front of like not wanting to be super open or honest about that, because it's like embarrassing. And so, yeah.
Everyone wants people to think that they're getting laid all the time, even if it's not true for like 90% of us, you know. It's kind of like a part of the cultural, like, status symbol almost at that point, I feel like.
yeah it's really interesting, because I definitely, you know, I didn't really want people to know unless I like told them one-on-one or something. But if I'm like at a huge, if I was like at a huge party of people, I assume that like everyone around me had either I don't know why I said either. Everyone around me had either maybe like had sex in the last week, or were like going to get laid that night.
Yeah, and right.
Like, looking at it, like, I was one of those people that was like at those parties and stuff, and I had never even had sex at all. And people were probably assuming the same thing about me. And there probably were a lot of people there who had had sex in the last week, or had, you know, were going to have sex that night, but not everyone to the extent that I was imagining, to the point where I felt super alone, or like people would judge me.
Exactly. I think that was a big revelation for me, is that like, honestly, nobody cares. Like, it's not this like huge stigmatized like, oh, you're a virgin, like, what, like, what, you know. And I was like so ashamed, and I like almost wanted to hide it and like seem like I was like, you know. And but I think just realizing that like it, like, you go out with like five friends and maybe one of them goes home with someone, you know? And so it's like, even statistically in your friend group, not everyone got, you know? And so it's just kind of like being able to see like the realistic kind of side to it, versus like your own like judgmental aspect of like your own self, and like, oh gosh, like, we're all hard on ourselves, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I love what you said about that's, you know, statistic within your own friend group. Like, yeah, how many times have you gone out where everyone in your group every night goes home with someone else? Not unless you're like in a friend group, which has like amazing chances and odds, like that's probably not happening. So yeah. And that kind of reminds me of like what you were saying about people like thinking that everyone was judging you and whatnot. I was with this like group of people. It was like someone's birthday and we're like walking around, but there are people that I didn't know very well, you know, but they're like my peers, but I like just met them that night and we're like walking around and they're talking about sex or whatever. And then it just kind of came up and I'm like, yeah, I'm a virgin. Ha 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 ha. like not exactly like that. Like, you know, I was very insecure about sex.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like, it was with a guy and a girl and they're both like, oh yeah, that's totally fine. Like you should totally wait until you feel comfortable or else it's going to suck. And
yeah,
you know, and they were just like totally chill about it. And I was like, oh, cool. They're like, they don't care. And they're like understanding, which like, of course they're like people who it doesn't affect them. And it's, you know, like if you meet someone and they're like, I've never like gone skydiving before. You're not going to be like, oh my God, I don't want to hang out with you anymore. Who's never gone skydiving before? Like maybe that's not a great metaphor because not everyone's gone skydiving, but it's just kind of like no one. Yeah. As you said, like you think that people are going to judge you, but like people don't really give a shit.
They don't care unless you're literally about to sleep with someone. Like it's irrelevant to them. Like they, and even then it doesn't matter, but like, it's like, why does anyone care about your sex life? You know, it's like, or lack thereof, like who cares? Like you do you, like regardless of how much or how little sex you're having, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, Lauren, unless you're going to actually sleep with someone, that's when it matters. And if you are having sex with someone, like if they don't want to have sex with you because you're a virgin, then they're not the right person to lose your virginity to in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I think in all instances of sex or whatever, communication is important regardless, and a lot of people lose it in like a one night stand, you know, kind of just like at a party or whatever. And so I think it's kind of like just feeling out the moment, and you know, some people might be able to just figure it out as they go along, and you know, some people it's just like, oh, I actually don't know what I'm doing, can you teach me, like where do I put this, you know, like and so I think it's really like kind of feeling out the moment. But yeah, I mean, it's like, honestly, like it doesn't matter like what your sex life is when it comes to like who you are and like how you get along with other people. So like, it really should be completely irrelevant in like the grander scheme of things. But yeah.
yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's also interesting to think about how, cause we graduated, so we're, you know, not really in that world as much anymore. It's a slightly different world of post-grad, woohoo. And it's interesting to think about with the pandemic, how this has shifted things. Because as you said, freshman year, you know, you go off to college, you're not with your parents anymore, you're meeting all these people, you're going out and doing all these social things. And that's not happening anymore with remote learning, and people are still at their homes, parents' house, family house with a friend maybe, or they're at their college, but they're like in their dorm like 90% of the time, you know, it's so much more isolated than it was. And so I'm wondering how maybe these like social pressures are adapting and changing and morphing, and yeah. I guess I need to find another verb because I just keep going and going. But and I'm thinking about how, like I said, the average age of losing your virginity is in the United States is 17, but I think that number is going to go up and people are going to lose their virginity later, because high schoolers and college students, that 17 kind of 18, you know, rank there, they're not going out and socializing and doing these things. And I'm sure there still are some people who are, of course, losing their virginity during this time, but I just think it's way lower than what it usually would be.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, I, especially like being in high school, like living at home, like with your parents and stuff, like they're going to know if you leave the house, you know, it's not like they're at work all day and you can kind of like sneak it in, like whatever. It's way harder to be subtle about something like that. And, you know, I think also just like, honestly, like alcohol is involved in so many of the situations in which people might like lose their virginities, you know, like a frat party or, you know, something like super romantic. But, you know, I think a lot of the situations in which people kind of have that like social, like setup already happening are like kind of gone. And like a lot of people, if they are socializing, it's probably like a way smaller kickback with like their roommates and people who it would be maybe like kind of awkward to like be doing that with, you know? And so I think that overall, just the opportunities and the situations that most people usually like do that in are much fewer. And so it's kind of interesting. I totally agree. I wonder if like the pressure, like the norms are kind of shifting and, you know, just realistically, it's way harder to do it right now.
Yeah. And Lauren, you were talking about, you kind of said, you know, like, oh, like losing it at a frat party, how romantic, you know, that kind of brings the point of, you know, whatever your reasonings are, like whatever your kind of ideas are for how you'll lose your virginity, like whether you're waiting till marriage or if you're just waiting for someone who like you feel comfortable with, or maybe you just want to experiment and just, you're like, yeah, I want to go to frat party and lose my virginity.
Time.
Yeah. Like no matter what the reason, like your ideas for how you want to lose your virginity are valid, and don't let anyone, including yourself, tell you that they're not.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. I think the only thing that I would say is that just make sure you're comfortable with it and make sure that in that moment it feels right. And it does not matter what that situation is. Like I feel like growing up and being in high school and middle school and like I was not getting laid in high school. Like it was just not in the cards for me. It was not going to happen. but you know, even just like talking with my friends back then, like I feel like so many of us had these like idealistic, you know, expectations of like, oh, it's gonna be like with my true love and it's gonna be so beautiful and there's gonna be like rose petals and like fucking so romantic. And that is honestly not how it turns out for a lot of people. For some people it does, and I freaking commend you, like good job on finding true love. But you know, honestly, like I literally had friends who were like, all right, fuck it, I'm losing it tonight. We went to a frat party, they found someone and went home with them, you know, and it just was right for them at the moment. I lost it to a friend because I just felt like it was time and it was a thing, and it was fine. Like I didn't regret it. Like I still don't. And I think like as long as it feels right in the moment and you're comfortable with the person, because you know it takes two to tango, and as long as you're comfortable with the person in that moment, and I think that's the most important thing, and just not to let yourself get all wrapped up in these like idealistic, like, oh, I have to be in love, and unless you want that. But yeah, I think a lot of us put so much pressure on losing it in this perfect situation, and that really often isn't the case and doesn't need to be the case. So
yeah, definitely 100% amen to what you said. And I think, yeah, it's totally fine to have your reasonings and thoughts about it change over time. Like if you know, thought I want to wait till I'm totally in love with someone and there's rose petals and, you know, there's candles and all that shit, you know, that you said, and then grow up and you kind of realize like, you know what, I don't really care. Like, cause that's kind of the main narrative in that younger age. Right. And so maybe you only thought that because that's what everyone else was talking about. And you're like, yeah, you know? And so it's totally fine to change your viewpoint. But then again, if you're like in a college situation and everyone's talking about how they're losing it to some random person or a friend or someone that they're not actually dating, and you're like, well, I want to lose it to someone that I'm dating. Like, I don't know why I'm saying lose it. That just sounds so like,
right.
like I feel like I'm like 17. And you're thinking like, I don't want my first time, you know, having sex to be with some random person. Like I want to make love to someone. Then don't let like the other people and the little pressures at that time tell you that you can't have that.
Yeah.
And so I think you said it really well. And I really liked what you said about waiting till you're comfortable. And actually when I was, you know, 19 and we're talking and you had just lost your virginity and I was still little unicorn virgin me, telling me all throughout, you know, you told me like, wait until you find someone that you feel comfortable with. And that I felt comfortable in that, like moving forward, you know, I felt comfortable in that statement. And if you find yourself in a situation where maybe you're like, oh, well, like maybe I do want to lose my virginity to some, you know, tonight or whatever. Like, and, but you find yourself in a situation maybe with someone that you don't feel comfortable with, but the ball's like already kind of rolling. Like it's okay to stop that ball. Like it's okay.
Oh, yeah.
To like be, you know, making out with someone or doing something, you know, like it's okay to like be in a situation and then realize that you don't want to move forward and to like stop, like don't feel guilty at all about doing that. I feel like that, you know, that message is being spread a lot these days.
Yeah.
Is really good, but it's, you know, saying it and actually moving forward with it are two different things. So
yeah. No, I totally agree. I think there's like so many different angles and experiences that people have. And it's like, if you don't want to have sex, that is fine too, you know, because I feel like it's kind of all, you feel like it's expected of you to want to be, you know, doing it all the time and getting it every opportunity you can, you know, and it's totally fine to be like, hey, you know what? Like, I don't want this. Like it, you know, and it's hard to like speak up for yourself and be able to like make that call. But I think it's important to like emphasize that it's like about just doing what you're comfortable with. And especially when it comes to something like losing it, you know, it's, you can put a lot of pressure on that. And, you know, some people are like, oh, I kind of, I don't know if I want to lose it in this situation. Cause that kind of happened to me. I could have lost it several months before I actually did. But I was like, you know what, let's stop. I'm going to leave. I'm just going to check out. And it's like, that's fine too, you know, to like either not want to have sex, not go that far with someone, or maybe you're just not ready yet. And like, that's totally fine too. And it might seem like everyone is, you know, you should be wanting to, but, you also totally don't. And that's like fine too. And I think we should emphasize that like societally more.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, as we were saying, like it might be headed in a different direction. It's just such a weird turn that we're at right now, like a weird pivot with, you know, the pandemic and everything. But yeah, definitely as we move forward, I think there's already like kind of the shift of, you know, positive mental health and awareness and education about just like everything, and also a lot more talking about like consent and whatnot, especially with like the rise of the Me Too movement, which I think is really great.
Yeah.
Not you know, the fact that the Me Too movement, like that it, the reasons why.
Yeah. Yeah. That people are being vocal about
The
importance of consent and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so hopefully, as you said, like hopefully we're as a society transitioning towards that kind of ideal.
Yeah. Agreed.
So, I love what you mentioned about like, you know, we think people are having amazing sex all the time. Like even if people have had sex, a lot of people haven't had sex recently and their sex lives aren't popping like 100% of the time.
Especially in 2020.
Especially, it's either really popping or not popping at all.
Yeah, it's a struggle.
Yeah.
And also like I feel like one thing that's important is like virginity is a construct, you know. Yeah. And like it doesn't, oh, yeah, you know, especially if you're like gay or something, like you don't have to do that to not be a virgin. It's kind of like up to you to define it. Like
speaking of do that, Lauren, for those who are just listening, she made a gesture with her hands about penis vagina sex, penile, yes, vaginal penetration,
PV intercourse.
Sorry, continue.
But yeah, no, I think Like, it's important to emphasize that as well, is like, sex, like, doesn't have to be, like, missionary, like, whatever, like, you know, is pictured in like, the media. It's kind of however you define it. Like, maybe you consider, like, oral to be losing your virginity, or maybe you consider, like, hitting second base, like, you feel at that point, or, you know, maybe like anal or something, like you might feel like that counts, and some other people might not because they feel like it's not yet. And so I think it's important to emphasize that, like, virginity is whatever you kind of define it as, and it is also kind of a construct, and yeah, it's not as one-sided as it might seem.
Yeah. definitely. And yeah, that's a very important point to keep in mind, especially about, you know, other types of, I mean, I say other types of sex, whatever types of sex. I mean, the oral sex literally has sex as part of it, you know, and, yeah. And if you only ever defined sex as, you know, penis vagina penetration, then that means someone who has only had sex with the person who has the same genitals as them, like, that means that they would all be virgins, which is obviously not the case, you know.
Yeah, I think it's kind of interesting too, because it, you know, especially like having sex with one set of genitals and then another set, you know, it's almost kind of like losing it twice, you know. It's like you're kind of it's like kind of scary to be like, what do I do, you know? It's kind of that same like thought process all over again, you know. And so I think it really is kind of how you define it in that situation and for yourself, like what you consider like virginity as, and you know, yeah, I don't know.
I have a story. I don't know if I'll include it or not, but I will tell it.
Okay.
When I was like 20, I was pretty sexually frustrated, and also I was worried about my hymen breaking during my first time having sex. And I was like, you know, if I'm gonna pop my cherry at this point, I might as well just do it myself, and that way it's like in a comfortable environment, and it's just done and over with, and my first time having sex isn't painful, which as we know is kind of based on some fallacies and myths, which we'll talk about later. But yeah, so I was just like, you know what, like, and I was, as I said, I was like 20, actually it's maybe when I was 19, I don't even remember, but I bought a sex toy because I'm like, you know, like, let's fucking do this. And so I, the first time I used a dildo, first of all, there was no bleeding, nothing broke. So there's that. I did do horseback riding when I was younger, and yeah. I have worn tampons. I had an ovarian cyst, so they shoved what's it called?
Like a speculum or whatever?
A speculum. They shoved, it was an ultrasound. It's like this device, yeah. This like pole thing that has a crazy ultrasound camera, yep. On the end. They shoved that up my uterus, or maybe, yep. Not in my uterus, because but they shoved, yeah. It into my you know, vagina.
yeah,
and so like, if you're talking about, that's another thing, if you're defining sex as like also the first time something enters the vagina, like tampons,
yeah,
ultrasound thing,
like.
But yeah, sorry. Anyway, sidetrack. But I used a dildo and told, I think I either like told one of my friends, was like, oh, hey, like, guess what? I just used a dildo for the first time and I didn't bleed. Ha ha ha. Like, it was like, well, not ha ha ha, but like,
yeah.
Like, yeah, like, update on my life to like my friend back home. It wasn't weird, I promise. It sounds weird, but it wasn't weird. And she was like, oh, guess this means you're not a virgin anymore. And I was like, what? And like, well, you've had like, you know, you've had the dildo and you, so like, I don't know if you're a virgin anymore. And I was so attached to like the concept of being a virgin and losing it to someone that I really liked, you know? And I was just like, oh my God, what if I'm not a virgin anymore? And then I like made the big mistake of like going on like Yahoo Answers and Reddit, and some bitch on Yahoo Answers like, "I'm so glad that I lost my virginity to a real man instead of a fake penis," or whatever. And I was just like, "Oh my God, I lost my virginity to a fake dick." I think I told my friend, she's like, "What are you talking about? Calm down." Like, you're still a like, first of all, you define virginity for yourself, and like, it's totally different.
Yeah.
And like, I would not consider that.
No.
Virginity. And that just like made me feel so much better. But at the same time, like, at that point, I literally had, you know, like, I'd had an ultrasound wand thing up me, dildo, tampons, you know, all sorts of stuff. And so it's just like, but it's so weird how that like label and your like ideas around it like influence. I don't know. It's just, yeah.
Yeah. No, I feel like there can be like a lot of like pressure to kind of see it as like a certain, in a certain way, you know, and like, oh, it has to be this way and it has to be perfect and it has to blah, 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 blah. And like, it's really just whatever, you know, and, kind of segueing out of that topic, like it's like your first time, like it, at least in my experience and what I've heard from other people, like it is gonna be awkward and it's gonna be kind of weird and like it, you know, especially if you have no idea what you're kind of doing, like it's you know, it's really like not necessarily gonna be perfect. And so I think like the amount of pressure that goes into having it be a certain way and having it be you know, like in movies, it just seems like magical, and it can be, and it's cool, but it's definitely kind of how you define it and how you experience it, you know,
I think. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And you don't have to share this if you don't feel comfortable, but like, I know that you know, you lost your virginity later with someone who is more experienced. And so how was that for you? If you feel comfortable answering.
Yeah. So honestly, my first time having sex was like, I was so nervous. Like it just like did not work. And you know, before that, like I didn't define oral sex as, virginity. And so that was out the window already, you know, like that had happened. And so, like that was fine, you know? But I think, you know, and again, that's why I say like, I did consider myself having lost it after that happened, but the second time I had sex was so much better. It was like, I was like, oh, so that's what that's supposed to feel like. That was a lot more fun. That was cool, you know, and so that's why I'm a big proponent of just seeing it for the experience that it was and not not necessarily putting so much pressure to have it be like a certain way, because I yeah, definitely. Also, not having had any experience, like I hadn't even watched porn at that point, you know, and so I had no clue. Like I was just kind of going into it blindly, you know, and so just kind of figuring out what was happening and like, you know, like learning about this new piece of anatomy that I'd never fucking seen before, you know, that was pretty wild. And I think just being able to kind of laugh about it. And like, again, it was like a friend. And so I didn't really feel weird about, you know, kind of being like, oh shit, what is that? Like, what do I do with that? You know? Yeah. So it was, I don't know. It was cool, but it was definitely like kind of terrifying the first time I actually like, you know, like in my definition lost it, because I but I don't know.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. It's, yeah, I guess as you said, it's kind of like really your mindset and what you make of it. And if your first time isn't amazing and rainbows flying out of your ass, then like that's totally fine.
Yeah, where were the rainbows? I was expecting those. Like, what the fuck?
It's like, I remember the first time I kissed someone, like, I was expecting sparks and all this. I was just kind of like, is this it? Like,
this is all.
This can't be it. Like,
no, that's the thing, too. I think that curiosity is just so intense. Like, I definitely had sex dreams all the time in high school. Like, I don't know about other people, but I definitely did. And I didn't even know what to imagine. Like, my body and my mind were just subconsciously making stuff up. And then I actually had sex and I was like, I was incorrect about that. Like, that was absolutely not how it felt. It was way better. But yeah, I think just like having the curiosity beforehand, you know, it's kind of like, what the fuck is it going to feel like? And then you kind of build it up in your mind. And like, I thought kissing was so different. Like, I really like, cause on TV, it looks like they like move their jaws a lot, you know? And so I fucking had no idea that it was literally just like, you know, like,
I feel like, yeah, it's like same thing. Like if two people, like your first time you have your first kiss, it's like there's just learning, you know, and sometimes it's great and sometimes it isn't. And one thing that I learned with kissing is that it's really good to like just kind of feel it out and like match your partner, which I'm assuming sex is similar.
Yeah.
I cannot speak on experience from that, but you seem to agree, so that's helpful. It's so weird how like, you know, your perceptions can be totally different, and the media like has such a role in our perceptions of things if we've never had actual experiences on them. And
to that point, like I myself feel this way, and a lot of my friends who I've spoken to feel this way, but every time you have sex with like a new partner, it's like low-key losing it to like a new person, you know, because
I love that idea. You know,
yeah, like it's kind of scary every time because every single person is different, you know. And with kissing, you know, like every time you kiss someone, you're just like, oh, like that was different than the other one, you know. And like some people kiss the same and then some people kiss differently, and like it's interesting. But I think it's very much the same with sex. It's like every single person brings different experiences and knowledge sets and new tricks to the table, you know. And so I think I think literally it just kind of never ends, you know. And it's kind of fun getting to like experience that. And I think you know, that's why I really like, I never personally saw sex as a big deal, because it just kind of, it's so different every time, and it's kind of like a new experience, and it's which is nerve-wracking in and of itself. But I don't know, once I realized that, it kind of made me less like just scared of the whole thing.
I really like that. It's kind of like, I don't know, it reminds me of what a lot of people say makes like a quote unquote good lover, is someone who like listens to the other person's like body or whatever, you know. Like if someone's going into like a sexual encounter like, I know everything, I'm the best, I'm gonna do my thing that I always do, and that's gonna be great, you know. Like someone who's really paying attention, and it's learning every time, and you know, not being arrogant. And if it's great, you know, different people bring different tricks. It's great if you can introduce some new tricks up your sleeve. And I feel like that's kind of the sentiment that you just echoed. I think that's really good to treat it like almost like the first time, just with a different person, because it almost is.
Yeah. No, and every time you bring a little bit more knowledge and a little bit more experience. And and one thing too is that every single person is different. Like one person is not gonna like the same thing that like your ex liked or whatever, you know. And so I think kind of being cognizant of that, and you know, it's literally so different with every single person. It really is kind of about matching like your partner's like energy and like kind of being able to read. Yeah, exactly. Matching the vibe and being able to read what they're doing and how they seem to be like responding to things, and communication and telling them what you like and telling them what you don't like, and you know, nicely. And kind of working together to ensure that it's like as positive of like an experience, because it is supposed to be fun, I think. It is supposed to be pleasant, you know, and so kind of
if it isn't, there's something that you should address.
You know, and communication can be terrifying, but kind of learning how to like maybe bring it up in the moment, you keep going, like keep doing that, or like, you know, to the left, like whatever.
To the right now, y'all.
Woo, to the windows. Oh god, to the sweat drop down my balls. That's gross.
It's perfect context.
Woo. But yeah, no, I think just kind of, yeah, every single situation you have to feel it out. And so it never ends, kind of, which is kind of the fun of it too.
Novelty.
Woo!
Antidote to a boring sex life.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no. I especially in like a relationship or something, because you know, you have sex a lot, and I feel like finding ways to mix things up keeps it alive. But not everyone's into that. And so again, you gotta feel it out.
Yeah. Isn't it like even just like little things, like going to a different restaurant or like just doing something different before, like, isn't it just like little things can also count as like novelties with sex? Is it going to a different restaurant as if you're having sex in a bunch of restaurants, but like before as a date or something?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think approaching the situation differently, you know, maybe you have like a really romantic dinner somewhere and then you like have that rose petal candlelit, like whatever. Or maybe you find a new location, you know. I'm not going to expand on that, but
use your imagination.
You know, you kind of, or a new position even, just trying that out. And even like fucking just, you know, games are like, you like the sex that you have after a game of like strip whatever, or you know, something like that is gonna be pretty different than the sex that you have after like a romantic dinner, you know what I mean? And so it's kind of just feeling out each situation as well, even if it is with the same person, like it's reading the vibe, you know.
definitely. Yeah, so a little pro tip for you non-virgin birdie tied down, I don't even know what I'm saying, but a little tip for you settled down folks out there. Yeah, because I feel like this podcast has been like, this episode has been very like tailored towards people who are virgins, which is good to kind of tips and things to make you feel better. I'm just rambling at this point. Let's move on to something else. So I really like what you mentioned about communication, because that's so important for any relationship, be that a romantic relationship, friends with benefits, just like a friendship in general. Like with anything, communication is so important. And we talked about before, like losing your virginity however you want to, if that's with someone that you've been dating for 3 months, a year, whatever, if that's with some random person at a party, whatever it may be. But one thing that is important, no matter how you lose it, is to be safe, because there are STIs and unwanted pregnancies and those things out there. So make sure that you are, you know, that you're taking precautions. And one of the main precautions is to use a condom, especially if you're hooking up with someone you don't know. This is probably something that you'll want to do. And so we just wanted to talk about some best practices with condom usage. Yes. All right. So one of them is to use a condom that doesn't have spermicide, because spermicide, it sounds like a good idea, like, oh, you kill any sperm that's in the vagina, but it can actually deteriorate the condom. And nothing is worse than a condom ripping or tearing or deteriorating while it's inside of you, and then sperm and all that stuff gets out, and the spermicide is not going to kill it all if it comes out like that. So
yeah, spermicide has like a 75% effectiveness rate or something like that, something scary.
Oh, that's actually, I guess that's like pretty good. I guess it's like depends on like how you're using it.
Yeah, it's not that good. Like condoms are 99.
Yeah, so okay, there you
trust
go.
Trust those a little more.
So that's one thing. Another thing is I know like there's oftentimes like this kind of controversy of latex versus non-latex. For those who have a latex allergy, obviously you don't want to put something inside of your body or outside of your body that you have an allergic reaction to. But if you do get like the natural skin ones, like those are porous and mm-hmm. you can still get HIV and I think some other STIs through those. So don't use any quote unquote natural skin condoms because they don't do the job fully that they are supposed to. Lauren, do you have anything that you'd like to add?
I think that traditional condoms, like latex condoms or whatever, are one of the most foolproof ways to prevent unwanted things. Further from that, it depends on what your goal is with birth control or whatever. There are other methods. You can double up on methods. Don't wear two condoms. Don't double up on condoms, but you can double up on methods. The pill plus condoms, etc. Another thing on the STI note is that condoms can be like cut open to make a dental dam. Vaginal, like oral sex, you can cunnilingus the term, you can use a condom for like that too, just like put it over. And there are like flavored condoms that make, oral cunnilingus a little more fun, a little more spicy. I could talk about this all day, but apparently I didn't know I had this much to say. Another thing that I think is so important to emphasize is that if someone refuses to use a condom, they can kindly fuck off.
Especially not kindly. They can just straight up fuck off.
Goodbye. I think especially if you're like trying to communicate, you're trying to like stand up for yourself, and you're like, oh, I want to use a condom, I'm just more comfortable with it. Especially again, if it is a random person that maybe you haven't gotten tested with, it is a good idea to get tested with your new partner, especially after every partner.
Cute date idea.
Yeah, right. Go play Parenthood.
But seriously, it is a very good idea. So thank you for sharing that, Lauren.
Yeah. I think with condoms too, like they come in different colors. I didn't know that. little fun foreplay experience.
Party.
Hell yeah. There's all kinds of varieties too. I think if you're going to be having sex and you're going to be, looking into losing your virginity, and doing whatever you think entails that, I think that, having the ability to, kind of prepare beforehand and, kind of make like mature decisions and decide, do the benefits outweigh the risks right now? Like, am I prepared to deal with, some of the consequences of having sex? Because it is kind of it's not a big deal, but it is also kind of a big deal. You should be like properly prepared for it. And so I think being able to kind of take those steps to make yourself safe and all that is important, especially if you're like first kind of starting to foray into it and might not be as experienced with all the different options out there.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely exploring different, options with birth control, STI protection. And if you are someone who cannot actually get pregnant, like if you don't have ovaries and a uterus and all those things, then, and you think, oh, well, this doesn't apply to me. Like if you like to have sex with people who do, or if you have loved ones who have that anatomy, you know, like it's still important to know to be a good sex partner, or even just to like be knowledgeable for your loved ones around you. So it's always good to be educated on those sorts of things.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really attractive when someone cares about that and cares about your kind of angle of it. So yeah, it is good.
Going off of condoms, another thing that may be very useful, especially if it is your first time, is using lube and doing proper foreplay. Because as we said earlier, there's kind of this myth that your first time, it's supposed to hurt, you're supposed to bleed, yada, yada, yada. So if you are someone who has a vagina, a vulva, you know, female parts, then it shouldn't hurt the first time if you are properly lubricated. Why did I say that so weirdly? Lubricated. So if you, you know, take your time with foreplay and you're pretty, you know, like, if you're properly aroused, chances are you're going to get a little wet down there. Maybe it's not wet enough. Different people have like different levels of what their body does, which is why lube is great. And especially, you know, you just don't know if it's like enough. That's only something that you learn from, you know, experimenting with yourself and with people. But if there's enough, you know, liquid down there, if it's properly lubricated down there, it will not hurt or burn or anything. It might be a little uncomfortable. You might have to find the right positioning or whatever, but it shouldn't burn or chafe or anything like that. And a lot of people, I feel like their first time, maybe they're not properly lubricated. So anyway. What are your thoughts, Lauren?
Yeah, so that's as I said, it was low-key kind of painful. It was just because I was so nervous. I was like, I wasn't even fucking, it was just difficult the first time. But and that wasn't my partner's fault. I was just so fucking nervous. And I think also it's important to note that oil-based lubricants can disintegrate condoms. And so using a water-based lubricant is probably best. And
I didn't know
that. this is expert knowledge. But yeah, no, I think proper foreplay is fucking integral to having a nice sexual experience, whether that entails a nice steamy makeout session beforehand, or it entails maybe like some dirty talk and kind of revving it up that way, or you know, even
vroom, vroom.
as you get more experienced, you can kind of come up with ways to like kind of jazz things up a little, you know, whether it's maybe like some role play or toys, or you know, I think finding ways to ensure that both partners are properly aroused and that they're both having a grand old time is important. And also, there shouldn't be any shame in using lubricant, you know, because it's kind of like, oh God, like, why am I not wet enough? Like, whatever. Like, but I think, honestly, like, having sex, like, especially if it's like a longer session, you can kind of dry out sometimes, you know, and, or like shower sex or whatever too. Like, using lubricant is not, shouldn't be something that it, you know, is shameful or whatever. And, you know, it honestly makes it better for everyone, because like, it's easier. And if you're doing anal, please use lubricant, please. It's so important. But yeah, no, I think just proper foreplay, especially like if you know, you're assigned female at birth hooking up with a assigned male at birth, so someone with a penis, like they get aroused often a lot quicker, and they're kind of ready to go before you are. And so kind of ensuring that you have that communication in place and that you're able to ensure that you're able to find it pleasurable by the time that it, you know, happens. It's important to kind of recognize that. And especially, I feel like, you know, if you're both like, you know, 18 or whatever, like high schoolers who haven't had sex ever before, like both losing your virginity to each other, the someone with a penis might not be as cognizant of the fact that the partner, if they are someone with a vulva, needs a little more time to warm up to it. I think that it's important to be that both partners are aware of that and are able to communicate that, just because it makes it so much more fun for everyone involved.
yeah, definitely. And that's another thing to be cognizant of, and we touched on this, is the hymen. This, you know, talking about, oh, the first time you have sex, there's like this wall on your vagina, and then you break it, and then there's blood. And that is not always the case. It doesn't always cover the entire vagina. If it does, it's like called like what, like a perforate?
Perforated, I think. Perforated.
It usually just covers like half or part, or sometimes it's like not even there, and it can stretch, it can tear doing things like horseback riding, gymnastics, inserting a tampon, having sex. That's just one of the ways. And so it's not like this thing where, oh, you're gonna penetrate sex and there's gonna be a little firework of blood, like that's woo, celebrate. It's dark. Okay. So yeah, I don't know if you have anything you want to add to that, Lauren.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's kind of the myths and the expectations surrounding that. And I, you know, it's kind of, I'd like for society to kind of dispel that expectation, especially because it places a lot of pressure on the person with a vulva to bleed, especially if the partner's expecting that. It's like, oh, were you lying about being a virgin? You know, and for the person with a vulva, there can kind of be like some pressure to like feel like you should bleed, just because that's kind of what society tells you. And it's, yeah, it totally can break at any time in your life before that. And I feel like personally that should be normalized. I think, you know, honestly, like working as a society to kind of dispel the myths that surround virginity loss and penetrative sex, and working to kind of figure out what those, what actually happens, you know, is important, because even if your hymen doesn't break, it can still stretch the first time you have sex. It might not break, there might not be any blood, but you might still feel pain because it stretches. I think there's also, you know, an expectation that it is going to be extremely painful. And it won't necessarily be, you know, especially if you're like properly aroused. And I was nervous as hell, but if you're like kind of able to work around that, I think that, it shouldn't necessarily be painful. And so kind of having these expectations can make people nervous, because they think it's going to hurt like hell, and they think it's going to be like, oh, I'm going to bleed, and it's going to be like a lot. And, you know, kind of, normalizing the expectations around that, I think, is important. But yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, definitely. That was a great way of putting it and kind of wrapping it up. Condoms wrapping it up. That was a little bit of a throwback to earlier, but yeah. And so I think that's kind of a great place to kind of, I think we've kind of covered a lot, and I think we've been also talking for a long time.
Yeah.
And if you have any questions about, you know, if we missed anything, we've been talking a lot, but there's always so much more to discuss and to talk about. So let us know kind of what you'd be curious to hear more about. But I have a question for you, Lauren, yes, that I wanted to touch on before we wrap up completely. And that is, if you could go back in time to before you had sex for the first time, what would you tell yourself?
Chill the fuck out. I think, honestly, like, I think kind of telling myself to not see it as such a big deal, and to not let kind of that societal pressure phase me out too much. Like, I think, yeah, I would tell myself, like, just enjoy it. Like, it's supposed to be fun. Like, you know, and don't put so much pressure on yourself to feel like you need to lose it. Because Yeah, again, I did have scenarios where I could have, but I was just like, no, it's not the time, you know? And so I think kind of just telling myself to recognize that. Also, the most important thing is, like, when you're ready, you will know. Like, even if it's not the love of your life and it's not, you know, the most romantic thing, if you're going into a situation and you feel comfortable with it and you're fine with it and you feel ready in that moment, that is how you know you're ready. You know, that is when it's, you know, probably you're at a point where you're able to, like, process kind of losing it and able to do that. Because, you know, if you have any hesitation, or maybe it's like, oh God, I feel like I have to, like, it might be better to just, like, wait. But yeah, I think that's probably what I would tell myself, is to just take some of the pressure off myself. And also, like, you will know when you know, because it just kind of clicks. You're like, all right, it's time.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that is such an important thing to keep in mind. Like, you'll know when you know, unless you're someone who you're like, yeah, I'm gonna get, you know, I'm gonna lose my virginity when I get married, and you have very kind of clear expectations of when and how it'll be. Unless you have those, I think it's kind of murky, you know? And so I think having that kind of steadfast of, like, you'll know when you know, I think that's just a great kind of mantra to have, because it's so applicable to a lot of different types of situations. And so, yeah, thank you for that. Thank you for joining us. First episode down. So if you would like to find Lauren, you can. She is on the social medias. So where can people find you?
Yeah. So yeah, again, my name's Lauren, and I love sexuality and stuff like that. And I do talk about it on a lot of my social medias, kind of LGBTQ, and just, you know, I've definitely touched on being quote unquote late bloomer and all that stuff. But yeah, you can find me on Instagram at LaurenVan_. You can find me on TikTok at Callie Her Daddy. yeah, I have a YouTube channel, Lauren Van, but I don't use it quite as much. But yeah, definitely follow me on Instagram, find me on TikTok. I use both of those a lot, but yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Of course. So go follow Lauren. She's a great person, if you haven't been able to already tell from this podcast episode that we have embarked on together. if you are watching this on YouTube, this is available on all the podcast places like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and just a whole bunch of others. So you can also find those there if you want. If you are listening to this somewhere, you can find this on YouTube. There's a video version. So, you know, we're all over the place. My YouTube is Zarina Evelina, and you can find the videos there. So yeah, thank you so much for joining us today. And yeah, we look forward to seeing you. Well, I guess not really seeing you, but having you join us for a discussion another time. So
yay.